Good evening, and welcome to Insight, the Radio Baha'i Public Affairs Show. Now, here's your host.
Good evening, and welcome to Insight, the Radio Baha'i Public Affairs Talk Show. I'm Bakhti Larry Huff. The Waccamaw Youth Center of Conway is a private nonprofit agency committed to providing comprehensive residential services for up to 20 abused, neglected, and abandoned youth ages 12 to 21. And with me to talk about the center and the services it provides to youth is Christopher Williams, and he is the executive director of the Waccamaw Youth Center Incorporated. Hello, Mr. Williams, and welcome to Insight.
Hello, Mr. Huff. It's good to be here.
Thank you for taking the time to be with us. And as I mentioned at the outset, that your organization is a nonprofit agency committed to providing comprehensive residential services for youth. Could you elaborate on that a little bit and explain just how you carry out that mission at the center?
Well, as you mentioned, we service males ages 12 to 21, and also they have either been abandoned, abused, and or neglected. The center addresses the needs of the often forgotten, disposed teenage boy, where you'll find that I have a many of different cases. Actually, each resident that comes in has a different story to tell and a different history that we have to go back sometimes and add some of the fundamentals, or we might have to, lack of a better way to explain it, to reprogram that it is okay to trust, or it's okay to move forward and not hold on to what most would call anger. Where at the center, we addressed what most people would consider to be anger. We find that young males often confuse anger and sadness. So if someone determines that one of our residents has a, you know, that when they come in that they are very angry, then we'll address it as they're very sad. So, and we found that addressing it that way, we're able to get to majority of the roots of the issues that do come our way with our boys. We do try to qualify the majority of our programs through independent living skills because we recognize that because we are a long-term facility, however, we don't have that much time. The majority of our boys come around 15, 16 years old, and they've been put in some very adult situations in there, you know, and at any given time, they could be, the Department of Social Services could determine that it's time for them to go back either to the homes if everyone's gotten everything back together. And by the time that happens, we're hoping to put some skills in place or to arm these young men to give them an opportunity to go back possibly to their homes, or if the older boys get an opportunity to go on to college or get an apartment on their own, that they can survive, and no matter what comes their way, that they have the confidence that has been instilled in them in the time that they spend with us to say that they can handle what comes their way, that it is an issue, but they also understand that a problem shared is a problem solved. So they reach out to community resources, and all of them understand that they can always call back to the youth center and get some form of support, whether it be moral or maybe, I mean, even if one of the boys, I've had a young man come back and say, it's not something I want to do, but it's something that I need right now. I need some help with my electric bill. And we figure out a way to help them out.
Great. Well, what is the mental and emotional state of the boys generally when they arrive at your doorstep? You mentioned you have to sometimes, quote, reprogram them. So where are most of them at when they come to you?
We find that the majority of the time when a young man is presented to me, and what happens, there's a screening process. A young man will be brought in through by a caseworker, and I'll get an opportunity to sit down and actually discuss things with them. I say screening because we are a low management. Low management means the level of security. Because we are a low management facility, then it is to our benefit to make sure that we keep a baseline of characteristics of the young males that we bring in. So when these young men come in, and if they have, for instance, what we in the business would call oppositional defiance, meaning if they are very aggressive, aggressive or hot-tempered, and you know, majority of those kids will come in very wound up, real tight, ready to prove everybody wrong that they don't need to be here, and that everything that they're saying about their homes or their parents is absolutely wrong, and they're gonna, you know. And so what happens is that I get an opportunity just to talk to them one-on-one and ask them what it is that they want with themselves, and I find that the majority of them just really want someone to say, you know, well, what do you want to do, mm-hmm. and how can I help you get there?
Interesting. And generally, what do they want to do?
Oh, it varies. It varies. Like I said, we service 12 to 21. So, for instance, I'll get guys that will come in, and these guys, you know, they'll come in all rough and tough and everything else. And before I know it, by the end of the conversation, they're sharing their passion to become an accountant. Or I'll get a kid that is, you know, so tight-lipped and scared and shaking, and what he wants to do. I mean, I even have one that wants to be a radio personality. In that initial conversation, it's an amazing thing that happens if you can help a child become comfortable in your presence.
You're listening to Insight, the Radio Baha'i Public Affairs talk show. I am Bakhti Larry Huff, speaking with Chris Williams. He is the executive director of the Waccamaw Youth Center in Conway. Well, the young man that is interested in being a radio personality, that might be someone that we might need to talk to.
I thought I'd plug that in.
All right. You mentioned that many of the boys come to you all wound up and feeling like they know everything and that they don't need to be there. Is that generally because of the situations that they come out of? And I want to talk a little bit about that, because you serve youth who have been neglected, abused, and
or abandoned.
Can you describe those situations a little bit? If you can just take each of those and just give us a brief example of the kinds of abuse, of the kinds of neglect and abandonment.
Well, the terms themselves are very broad in perspective with the amount of kids that are out there that would qualify in this way. However, for instance, in an abandonment issue, I've received young males that have been placed in hotel rooms, and after more investigation and a deeper research into the child's mind and friends, we find that those kids have, like I have a 15-year-old who was raising a 7-year-old in a hotel room for the last 5 months alone.
Mm, where were his parents?
Exactly. Oh. Where were his parents? But like I said, in further investigation, we find the majority of the abandonment cases, you'll find the parents have decided the street or a... I'd go ahead and say that maybe they're on drugs, or parents have been locked up and refused to inform the authority that they have kids, knowing that their kids would be taken from them. And so they'll probably try to communicate with another family member to try to go look in on them or to pick them up, just so they wouldn't be in the system, so they wouldn't get caught in an abandonment issue and add more time to their crime.
I see. All right, so that would probably qualify, I guess, as neglect and abandonment?
Absolutely. Oh, neglect, abandon, and abuse. I mean, okay. But, you know, specifically when people think of abuse, they tend to think of a physical most of the time when it comes to children. But, you know, you're looking at the psychological and the emotional abuse being abandoned. But we do have cases where a child has been taken from the home because maybe someone has reported that they're consistently coming in with new bruises, or, you know, lumps on the head, or broken limbs, or missing teeth, eye patch. It goes on and on, to the extent of possible sexual abuse, where, you know, you start to, you know, you have an outgoing kid that all of a sudden shuts down and won't change in gym, and the gym teacher might recognize that this kid might have, his presentation might be totally different now around other boys or around men or older women. And then you start to put two and two together and you know, ask them and see their reactions, and we get those as well. All kinds of abused kids.
All right. Now, how far does the center go in addressing the situations that some of these youth come out of, is your role principally to help the child, or do you go beyond that and try to address the situation they come out of with the hopes that perhaps they can be returned to the home?
Initially, it's to stabilize the mental aspect and the emotional aspect of the child. That is our primary goal, to stabilize this kid and to normalize his life again. However, with the help of my administrative team and more importantly, the mentors that work with me, it is our goal to find a family member. We do find that it is best that if a child can be raised by family, that way you have the family traditions and the natural cultures that allow this kid to become who, you know, he should become. But we do reach out to the family members. We do reach out to extended family members to see if we can't get additional support from them. But it is our goal to just, and primarily, to stabilize the mentality of the kids, will give him a world that's safe and secure so he can make better choices and he can make his own choices.
I would assume then that might mean that sometimes in order to maintain that stable environment, that some of them cannot be or should not be returned to the family.
That's a common statement. It really is, and profound in the same. We have control to a certain extent because of we are care providers. The majority of the 17 and under are still in the custody of the Department of Social Services. They do qualify homes and disqualify homes, and we don't get any option in that. If they have determined that the home is safe and secure for the kid, then we have to return the kid. We have found that some kids have went home and, maybe a month or two later have called to say that it's not working out, they want to come back. But, you know, all of that, it has to go through the Department of Social Services. Then there are some families that, some boys that do return home, and they call back 1 or 2 years later and say, you know, thank you for everything you did. I help you for helping get my mom or my dad together, or giving them another chance, and everything's working out great. I'm doing super. So, I mean, I'm not going to say it's a hit or miss, but I will say that the majority of the time, unfortunately, it in my opinion, it has been that it probably is not the best case situation to return the child to the home.
Okay, then what percentage then of your clients are able to return to their homes?
With the average census that we will hold in a year, I would say that right now I have 4 guys who have been at the center for 5 years. With that being one end of the spectrum, and then I have a couple of guys that have come and gone in a matter of 90 days, I'd probably put it at, in a year span, 20% that would get an opportunity to return home. And there's a process for it. It's not just automatically. They start with home visits, then overnights, then weekends, then week-long, and things like that. But it's a process.
I see. You're listening to Insight, the Radio Baha'i Public Affairs Talk Show, and I am Bhakti Larry Health, speaking with Chris Williams, Executive Director of the Waccamaw Youth Center, which provides comprehensive residential services to up to 20 abused, neglected, and abandoned youth between the ages of 12 and 21. We're going to take a break, but we'll be right back with more on Insight on 90.9 FM Radio Baha'i. Welcome back to Insight, the Radio Baha'i Public Affairs Talk Show. I'm Bhakti Larry Huff, and my guest is Christopher Williams. He is the Executive Director of the Waccamaw Youth Center in Conway. Mr. Williams, if you can tell us a little bit more about the services that the center provides and the kinds of staff that you have which provides the services. I mean, who are the people you have on staff, and what do they do?
The services that we provide, we ultimately, as an umbrella, it's an independent living program. We're teaching young males how to survive on their own, if need be. Through that, we are supporting educationally, vocationally, and as far as social and recreation, we find that if we focus in those terms, socially, if we're putting the boys in different atmospheres, giving them an opportunity to communicate. Communication has been a major campaign for us this past year, making sure that the boys are able to articulate how they feel. And if they can do that, and they can sit at this table, and they can sit at that table, then maybe they can mingle in this circle and mingle in that circle, giving them more opportunities for themselves. And we do that as a team, and our team has become a family. I mean, we have different dynamics that have been very successful for us lately. We have a mature woman and male there that give us that grandmother feel, and she has this way of making sure that things run smoothly. And we have our younger crew, who we actually have a former resident, a staff now. Mr. Brown was formerly a resident at the Waccamaw Youth Center and is currently one of my stronger staff, because his insight is of value to everything that we do. He is definitely a success story out of the Waccamaw Youth Center. And if I could go down the line of all these amazing people that we have working with these young males right now.
Yes, and if you would, and I would like to know what their positions are. Like the young man you just mentioned who was once a resident, what is his position? What is his expertise?
He's one of our mentors. Within the organizational chart, he falls right beneath the lead mentor, but gives him the ability to focus on the day-to-day aspects of all of our guys, making sure that, I mean, the simple things need to be taught in placements like this, from brushing your teeth accurately, making sure that you're getting everything, all your teeth, and getting to the front and the back, and getting your tongue done. And these are simple things, but you can get a 18-year-old that comes in that's never properly been introduced to the correct way to brush your teeth. And Mr. Brown is very good at those basic traditional things that a young child might have gotten, but a neglected child would have.
I see.
He's also a former military, so when it comes time for putting things back in perspective, when maybe some of the guys have gotten a little loose, Mr. Brown is also there to make sure that they understand that there are consequences to their actions, if they are negative. Like I said, he's definitely an asset to our team, and he worked directly below Patricia Eberhardt. She is my lead mentor. And she was actually recently promoted to this, but I believe that it was great advantage to the center to have Patricia at this position, because she has proven herself over the years, and I believe that she's been there for approximately just over 6 years, and she has proven herself time and time again, year in and year out, to be an effective mentor to young males. She's also proven to me that she has the ability to supervise people who work with kids. And I couldn't think of a better person that was here when I arrived in my last February. She has been a consummate supervisor. She works every angle she possibly can to make sure the day runs smoothly and that no staff is working harder than the other. And she doesn't ask any of her subordinates to do anything that she hasn't done five times over, wouldn't do again.
All right. Do you have social workers on staff, psychologists, or people that address various aspects of the needs of the boys?
What we do have is we have a collective of staff members that come in. We function on a total of 16 staff members completely. That's including the administrative team and a direct care team. We do not carry, because we're low management, we do not carry a clinical staff. We do have some members of our team that have some clinical certifications. However, they are not classified as clinical staff in our program. They just have a great deal of experience and education in the clinical aspect. We do have others that, with the my administrative team, I do have a development professional. She is an assistant director, and Sierra Larimore. Now, Sierra's been there for 8 years. She's been charged with the development of the Walker My Youth Center, meaning that it puts her in the lead position for developing different programs. And when I mean developing, I mean like her and I together will create a program or find a program that we believe would fit within the design of the overall project. And what she will do is find initial funding, startup monies for that. But she's worked her way up from direct care, and she does an amazing job as well. It is a home. And if I had to take all the high-class jargon out of it, what we are doing out at the Walker My Youth Center is raising kids, where a mother and father or aunt, uncle, or grandparent, or the grandparents may be the therapeutic counselor at that particular moment, and we become that therapeutic counselor at that same moment. You know, we don't have clinical staff, but when it's time to put on the clinical hat, we are capable of helping these boys get through emotional times as well.
Do you refer them out to clinical persons like counselors or a psychologist?
We do have outside resources for those special cases that we do have some kids that come with an extreme amount of emotional baggage. And with that baggage, it is my responsibility to make sure that I recognize that this young man is not someone that we could not accept. Because we do have outside resources. We look for assistance from DSS, who may refer a psychologist or sociologist from the Walker My Mental Health. We'll have most of our kids evaluated that way. And we also go to other programs such as Justice Works that would give us will send us a counselor and then have some individualized counseling for one of our kids as long as it's been approved through DSS. And Justice Works has been very valuable to us here lately. We have gotten some severe cases and we have needed some additional support.
Okay. You're listening to Insight, the Radio Baha'i Public Affairs Talk Show, and I'm Bakhti Larry Huff with Chris Williams, Executive Director of the Walker My Youth Center in Conway. Am I correct in saying then that for a significant percentage of the boys you serve, that structure, firmness, and love are enough to address their needs and to turn them around and get them on a positive track?
I would say that, 9 out of 10 times, consistency with those factors will definitely send a young man in the right direction with the right energy. I think that is well said.
Okay. All right, then. In the waning minutes, what do you find as your greatest challenge and the greatest rewards of the work that you do? And finally, how did you come to this kind of work?
I would say that the greatest challenge is getting people to understand how much it actually takes to get to where where we're trying to go on a daily, not just emotionally, but financially as well. We struggle with funding, just like everyone else. And if the economy is strapped, then nonprofits are strapped, and we're a nonprofit, and so we struggle to get the all of the bills paid, every month. I mean, we still have a mortgage and we still have light bills. And we've had an incredible amount of people come out in our community. I have been very happy with the community coming out and making cooking meals for the boys and spending some time. But within that, I find that a lot of the people that have come haven't necessarily stuck around to get to know who they're giving to. I would challenge those who hear and those who want to give to, not saying that I'm not grateful for what is given, because I truly am, and we need those things. But these guys need an ear sometimes and a different voice sometimes. And it is challenging to find those who would step out and say, I want to spend some time. Well, or sit down with one of the boys and ask them about girls, or sit down with them and say, if you have a girlfriend, how's it going? And within your grades, what do you plan on doing? Well, maybe I can help you, or I'm starting a business and I need some young men that are willing to work. So it's difficult to get people to come in and invest just a bit more, because we're doing good, but we could be doing much better as a community, because it takes that. And as far as the it's daily, the daily outcomes. The great things that come is watching, from my office, the bus pulls up and the guys get out, and one of them are running to check in and at the boys' cottage, and I see him going one door and shooting out the side, the other door, and got these papers in his hand because now he's running over to my office to show me his quiz and how well he did because he's been spending all week in study hall. That is mandatory. And he's showing me, and he gets to put one of his quizzes on my corkboard, and he's looking at it now, and he's buying into it that there's somebody there that cares. That's an amazing thing. That's an amazing feeling. In essence, that is actually what brought me to doing this line of work. I didn't have someone there telling me to, that I was doing good or even that I was doing bad. I was a victim of, I would say, more neglect than anything else. And there was someone later in my life, maybe in my early 20s, that sat me down and said, young man, it's not all your fault, but I'm not going to continue to let it be your excuse. And that has basically been my motto as I sit down with these young men. And over the years, this will make my 20th year working with youth. And I think that that has stuck for me. Mm-hmm. Someone stepped out and said, it's not your fault. Don't let it be your excuse. And you can do it. I'm still doing it, and I'm still working on me. It is what I expect from these young men as well.
Fantastic. And an excellent note on which to bring the program to a close, the fact that you can relate to the people you're serving. Wonderful. Christopher Williams is the executive director of the Waccamaw Youth Center Incorporated in Conway. If persons would like to contact you to offer support of some kind or just to ask more questions, get more information, how can they reach you?
Well, they can reach me at the office there majority of the time. But during business hours, they can reach me at area code 843-369-0200, or they can email me at Chris, C-H-R-I-S, at WaccamawYouthCenter.org.
All right. Chris Williams, Executive Director of the Waccamaw Youth Center Incorporated in Conway. Thank you again for being with us on Insight, and we wish all the best to you.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate you.
You've been listening to Insight, the Radio Baha'i Public Affairs Show. Join us again for another edition of Insight on 90.9 FM Radio Baha'i.